Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to this 9 Trend 11.
Is that
9 11 Trend?
Yeah.
Episode. Yeah. Long weekend trending episode. I am Jack. That is Miles.
Oh, yeah. 9/11. Which 9/11 are we talking about? Are we talking about 9/11 here or the other 9/11 when America helped Chile overthrow Allende? Because I was also on 9/11.
Oh, yeah, we're not familiar with that one here, Miles.
All right, never mind.
American zeitgeist. I thought you were going to ask, where are we talking about how this weekend was a 9/11 for Martin Short fans? Because it was... Woof.
I didn't even know until Anna sent this tweet through our group thread saying
that... Producer Anna Hosnier.
Yeah. What was the tweet? It said, I will never... It says, when they say white people have no culture, I will remember the day they mounted up for Martin Short.
Who is, and I'm like, what? From?
That is from YC on so X.com. Yeah. So,
on Ed, no, it's not. It's a fucking tweet.
Twitter.
On Twitter. Twitter,
man. Not bothered.
Not bothered. I am not bothered about Martin Short one way or the other. I feel like he is cilantro. I treated this discussion like I do any internet controversy, mm-hmm. where it's like, yeah, like I can see how this could be distasteful to some people. Tastes like soap to you? Oh, hell yeah, that sounds terrible. I don't fuck with that. On the other hand, I don't think it's like that big a deal. I don't want him to stop. Some of the tone of the weekend felt like he's been canceled. He's like, there must be implications that he's a shitty person or something.
Right.
But it really feels like the whole thing is just somebody being like, this guy's not fucking funny, right? Like,
right. And absolutely everyone's like, he is. Blair Saki even, Matt Rose, just said, what did Blair say? An enemy of Martin Short is an enemy of mine. Damn.
I can totally see.
Also, Blair, shout out Sarah Sherman, aka Sarah Squirm, also put the disrespect Martin Short all day, every day till I fucking die. Hashtag Keith Clifford.
I feel like people who are in comedy, like, there's going to be respect on Martin Short's name.
He's he's been around for so long. He's had, you know, a lot of iconic roles. I'm like one of those people where I get why some people might be tired of him or whatever. That's your own personal taste. Like, when I think of the things that I've enjoyed the most from Martin Short has been Jiminy Glick.
Yes.
But also, like, you know, Clifford was cool too. There's like, I don't know. I think it's also kind of those things where, like, he really resonates with you when you're younger too.
Yeah.
Because he kind of like has that energy of like kids show comedian, but does it very well. Yeah.
I really like some moments from Jiminy Glick, and I really liked the Harry Shearer, Martin Short sketch about synchronized swimmers who like can't actually swim.
Yes.
That shit's very funny to me.
Yeah.
Sorry to the people who had
people
a hard
getting
weekend.
Their fucking yum yucked the fuck out, and they're like, absolutely not. Yeah. We will ride for this Canadian man.
All right. What do we want to do first? We want to do our underrated or overrated?
Let's do unders because I think our overs overlap.
Okay. All right. My under is the confidence of a mediocre boomer white man. I just opened volume 3, issue 9 of Boston Brick and Stone newsletter. Do you remember this from the pandemic?
No.
There's this guy has a chimney construction company.
Uh-huh.
And he has used his money to create a small 5-page zine where he waxes philosophical on life and just like writes the most basic opinions. Like, so let me just, the front page story from this edition is basically that he just watched the movie Cheer or watched the Netflix show Cheer and thinks that Monica is cool. Like, that's basically it. He titles it, if you want to become great at something, do this. But his whole thing is just like, practice makes perfect.
Wait, where do you find this?
In the mail. It just comes to my mailbox every
day.
What
the fuck?
So
I do not get. Wow.
Boston Brick and Stone newsletter, front page. If you want to become great at something, do this. And he connects the Cheer team winning the championship year after year with the philosophy at Boston Brick and Stone.
Uh huh.
But then page 2, Florida Man. The unpredictable phenomenon. He just found out about Florida Man.
Oh, just being like, how come we always hear about these Florida Man types?
Yeah, it's just the most basic ass shit.
Is he reading Cracked like 9 years later?
Yeah, it's like a very poor man's version of, it's like if any random dad was like, I'm going to make a website, but he publishes it and sends it and like puts it in. And he's in Pasadena, so I'm not that close to Pasadena. So this is reaching a wide swath of people.
Dude, just with you holding it up, that quote-unquote zine has the vibes of like Lyndon LaRouche, like newspapers that they would throw at you on college campuses. Like, it just seems like, what's in there? I don't even know.
Stupid caveman trivia. Unusual things you can make with a blender. Tiki bars. Last chance to get a summer cocktail. And this is all just written by him. He's not a good writer, but it's just an amazing testament to the ego of this fading generation that will not let go of power. And it's just like, everybody needs to hear what I think.
As this person inevitably is like grappling with their own mortality, they're like, this is what I need to do. I need to ramp my output of my words to share that with the world.
Boston Brick and Stone newsletter is going to be my legacy. I just had a feeling that God told me that I had something important to do.
I have a feeling
like his driving crooner.
right. I have a feeling your legacy will probably be the chimneys that you restore that will probably be standing long after your physical body has expired.
Those last a long time, man. Just be proud of your chimneys, bro.
Yeah, exactly. That's enough.
What's your underrated?
Underrated? God damn, a fucking museum gift shop. Because
they
somehow have the best version of the gift shop scam. You know what I mean? Of like, it's probably why Banksy mentioned it in his work, like exit through the gift shop. Mm-hmm. Like normally when I'm forced through a gift shop at the end of like visiting a place or seeing something very interesting, like when you visit like a historical site or some shit, it's easy to be like, to walk through there and be like, I don't need coasters with a Catholic church on it for fucking $30. I don't fucking need this. I don't need a t-shirt that says whatever the fuck it is. But somehow when you go to a museum gift shop And suddenly you're like, I guess I can pay $60 for this t-shirt because it has Basquiat art on it.
Basquiat.
Like, it's almost like this store is sort of like, you know that this is like fine art tchotchkes, right? And you're not dumb and fucking not cultured. So you should overpay for this baby onesie, and it will tell people that you know what Keith Haring is.
Yeah, that's like an NPR tote. Having yeah. that baby onesie.
But like, less it's, I don't know why.
About you.
It's how intoxicating. You spend your weekends. It's intoxicating, the museum, the art, specifically the art museum, because you're like, this is a high-minded calendar.
Well, yeah. Like, and they also have free reign to pull, instead of like just pulling clip art from the internet, they are pulling from like the greatest art ever created.
Yeah.
And they probably have like good design minds like working at the, yeah. at the gift shop. So, yeah, they have some good merch, man.
It's just like, I think it's just the part of me that like suddenly, but it's just like weird how my brain shuts off where I'm like, this is all worth exactly what they say they are. Merely because it's like has fine art. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like I went to the Broad to see the Keith Haring exhibit and went with Her Majesty and the Geistchild. And like as a kid, my dad, you know, like always rocked like Keith Haring, like apartheid commentary kind of shirts and things.
Yeah.
And I would like wear that as a kid. So there was something nostalgic about me taking the baby there and like, you know, aiming him at the art, even though he's like, what the fuck is going
like
on?
You got it. I feel like he was picking up on the apartheid undertones.
We're going to get to the cultural appropriation part that isn't actually discussed in this exhibit, but we will save that for another time.
Right.
But like it was, I don't know. Then immediately my defenses were just completely down. And I'm like, you need this onesie and I need the matching shirt that you won't fit into quite yet because you're still tiny. But we will put this on ice so then we could walk the earth together proclaiming our love for art. So
amazing.
Yeah. They know they've done it. They've done it.
They have. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, similarly, so for my overrated, I similarly had a weekend of culture with my kids. Mm. We watched. So my son is like really into naval stuff now. This is the Star okay. Wars one. My 7-year-old was really yeah. into Star Wars. I don't know if it's like the nautical terminology in Star Wars or what, but he's like now just like Friday is movie night. And he's like, I want to watch a military movie.
Oh, shit.
I was like, what does that even mean, yeah. man? Oh, no.
Yeah.
You want and that I was action. Thinking about Top Gun, but it felt like I don't want to give my son's heart and mind to the military just yet. Like,
because in your mind, it's instant. It's instant.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, it's so good. Like, that is just the most potent cocktail that the military has concocted. And so I was searching. And I found this movie, Tiger Cruise, which seemed like a straightforward kids movie taking place aboard aircraft carrier. And
it's a Disney movie, right? Like yeah, it's a live
Disney
action
channel
like
movie.
TV.
Not yeah, a Disney, yeah. like a Disney channel, like yeah. a made for TV. Disney channel movie starring Bill Pullman and Hayden Panettiere.
Okay.
And I was like, yes, this is good. Like it seems silly in a way that they're going to appreciate. I think aircraft carriers are inherently interesting. Like these
yeah,
are
how they fit everything in there.
They're fucking so big, man.
Whenever you see them like put the fucking killer machines below the deck and stuff and how they organize it underneath, you're like, holy shit.
Yeah, this is it's crazy.
I get why we don't have health care. This
there's,
is awesome.
There's a good paragraph in or a good chapter in Ministry for the Future. It's just a one off where it's like somebody who is a naval veteran and is like talking about how if you just like put the organization, the amount of like time and effort and focus and, you know, just crackerjack, like people running things well towards a good cause as opposed to war, like you could right. really do some amazing shit. Anyways, so starts the standard Disney Channel movie. You know, they like get into hijinks. Hayden Panettiere, the protagonist, her entire conflict seems to be that she can't get past the phrase military brat. Like someone calls her a military brat and she's like, I'm not a brat. And instead of the person being like, oh, no, it's just a phrase. She's right. like, that is her central character. And there's a couple others, like a drummer from New York. There's a dad who whose son is a sailor, but when he gets there, he finds out that he is actually a cook, and he's like ashamed. But they just like sneak off. They get into hijinks. 10 minutes in, the day is over.
Wait, that's in the first 10 minutes?
Yeah, I mean, like that's probably like 20 minutes in. You know, setting it all up. Even then,
Go on.
So, I mean, I'm compressing a lot in, but
it's not like a third act moment.
No.
Which is
20 minutes in, they cut to black, end of the day, and they say September 9th, 2001.
Oh, boy.
And over the next hour, I watched 9/11 happen with my 5-year-old and 7-year-old who did not know what 9/11 was.
At all.
Yeah. Like, I don't know. I had that thought earlier in parenthood where I was like, how do I tell my kids about 9/11? And I hadn't come up with a good answer for that. So I was like, the Disney Channel is going to do it. And it was like that. You don't see like the towers like come down. You just see like people are watching the news on the aircraft carrier.
With the smoking towers, though.
But people are crying. You're seeing a lot of smoking towers. My son asked how the guys who flew the plane into the building jumped off in time.
Oh, you poor innocent baby. Oh, no. Okay, let's it's time to talk about martyrdom.
Yes, exactly.
It's a concept for you, young lad.
It really just took me back to, I don't know, the movie, like there's this one scene where Hayden Panettiere is like, why do you keep watching this stuff? It's so depressing to the kid from New York. He's like watching the news and she's like, how can you keep watching it? I just like find it such a bummer. The day after 9/11, he's still like watching the news. And he's like, some of the people in my neighborhood worked in that building. Girl I know's dad was a firefighter. But then he like has a speech where he's like, those towers, this is a direct quote. They were just there, you know? I never got tired of looking at them. They were so big and cool.
That part.
The way the sun would reflect off of them. It's going to be so different. It's just not the same anymore. I don't know. It reminded me of this like weird thing that we were in, are still kind of in, where like we're just very like dumb when trying to like write about 9/11.
Yeah. Because we don't want to be honest about it.
We haven't had like a very poignant commentary, artistic commentary on 9/11. I guess like, you know, United 93. There's obviously that Mark Wahlberg Tonight Show interview where he talked about how it would have gone down different if he had been on the plane.
Oh, hell yeah, it would have, bro.
But I still think the best 9/11 culture is Tobias in Arrested Development when he's like talking about how his marriage is on the rocks. And Michael's like, when did that start? And he says, I don't want to blame it all on 9/11, but it certainly didn't help. I think that's the best thing I've seen about 9/11, because it's like it captures the deep core truth of 9/11, which was that everyone was like trying to get a piece to like adopt it as their own problem.
Right.
And everyone kind of wanted to be a 9/11 victim. And we were like clamoring for stories about people who were like almost on the plane. I hadn't realized like the Mark Wahlberg thing was him saying like, I was almost on that plane that morning, bro. It was like I was supposed to be flying back to LA, but
I fly private, so it wouldn't actually have happened, but I could have been.
But then 4 weeks before we decided to go to TIFF instead. But yeah, we were just, we really, I don't know, wanted to experience the tragedy. We were like kind of glorying in the tragedy a little bit. And then obviously like the darkest cultural legacy was shows like 24 and, you know, so many action movies and TV shows where it was just like being a brown person was automatically grounds for you are a terrorist suspect.
Right.
I don't know. It's just,
when I saw you write about this, I immediately went on YouTube and just searched Tiger Cruise 9/11 scene.
Yeah.
And I couldn't believe, like, I found myself in your position where it's like they're all sleeping. Suddenly, it's like,
yeah,
like across the battleship, and it's like frantic as shit. And then Bill Pullman gives this speech about the attacks. Everyone's sobbing. And I was like, this is probably the opposite of what you even wanted to even watch with your kids, because it's not even just acting like, and then 9/11 happened. It's like, no, this fucking movie's about 9/11.
Yeah, it becomes about, like, after being a straight up, it's almost like a piece of experimental art where they just like sheared a Disney movie in half and just had 9/11 happen in the middle of it. And I mean, guess
You could have read the synopsis.
A true story where they, like, the Tiger Cruise is a real thing where, like, family members come and, like, stay on a aircraft carrier. And, like, while that was happening, 9/11 happened and they had to figure out what to do with the family members. But they just.
It is also funny, too, that the one guy who's, like, the chef on the ship, like, his dad comes down, like, it's 9/11. You're making cookies? Like, he's, like, shaming him for making cookies. And then he's like, wait, our uncle works in the Pentagon. It's so fucking jarring.
Unk doesn't make it, bro. The spoiler alert, unfortunately.
Oh, Uncle Bob or whatever his name was?
Uncle Bob. The only person that we meet who doesn't survive 9/11 is, like, a tangential uncle of a guy who's a problematic asshole.
I mean, I remember too, like, to that point, like, I felt like every reality show that was about, like, improving someone's life, like an Undercover Boss or, like, Home Makeover type shows, there was all, like, they would prioritize people that had some connection to 9/11.
Like, Super all producer Brian, by the way, was saying that, like, I should have checked Common Sense Media for that. All the descriptions of this movie were, like, fun, family fun, patriotic. was the only thing.
9/11.
I was starting to, like, Google around 9/11 movies and be like, what have we had? And that is a description, like, that comes up. It's like 9/11, like, this one is a trenchant meditation on loss, patriotic. Like, that,
right.
For whatever reason, like, when it comes to 9/11 movies, it's that becomes a value that we keep in mind when we're reviewing.
Oh, man. I feel like someone hit us up. They're like, we do TV reviews on our website.
Yeah, totally. I need to check out their website.
I'm going to check it at My Screen Time, too. Like, again, I don't know if it's problematic or off the rails. But anyway,
I'm sure it's not. They listen to our show. They must be flawless.
They're like,
individuals.
Don't listen to the Daily Zeitgeist. It's for socialist cowards who don't want their kids to know about 9/11. Which brings me to mine. It's a little bit of both. American basketball exceptionalism.
Yes.
A bit overrated because, you know, the U.S., they did not do good.
They
crashed out in the semis to Germany and in the FIBA World Cup of basketball. And a lot of American fans could not wrap their heads around this. We're calling for blood in the streets.
Yeah.
They're like, Steve Kerr doesn't know what he's doing. And, like, I think he does. Who are these people? Anyway, but just
their
looking at this.
Their coaching staff is Steve Kerr and Eric Spoelstra.
Yeah.
Like, the guy who their assistant coach is the guy who is, like, acknowledged as, like, the fucking wizard of the NBA right now.
Right. Yeah. So I don't know what that says, but, like, when you look at the statistics, the U.S. never beat anyone ranked higher than a 7 seed.
Yeah.
So it was clear that there was, like, limits to what we were able to do anyway. And plus, these teams play for a lot longer together. But I just think, like, I think more people should have used this result to say, wow, other countries in the world play basketball and know how to play well.
Yeah.
Than this thing of, like, oh, what the fuck?
We're seeing a thing, like, repeatedly, that, like, it hasn't traditionally been the way it is. And so it's not, like, how our mind about basketball is built, but where teams who have played together for a long time are better and are more like who have, like, we see it in the NBA with, like, teams that are, like, kind of built from the ground up and, like, aren't just, like, trading for big stars at the last second, are doing better in the championship, you know, with Golden State having this dynasty and but, like, this is a great example. Like, it really, like, what better example than, and obviously this isn't the NBA, this is, like, a different style of basketball, but, like, we have way more NBA talent than any other team, but it doesn't matter because they just, like, know how to play together. They know exactly, like, how the other person's gonna cut. So
I don't know. There's a little more the unspoken communication is much better because their instincts are better anyway. So that was just nice to watch. Shout out Germany. Old Dennis, who Shruta. Came through. Big Shruta. But also just on 9/11, just like the 9/11 coverage that absolutely abandons any commentary about U.S. foreign policy. Like, it's expected, but like, come the fuck on. Are we still talking about this in a vacuum? Like, and how could this have happened?
Right.
How? Right. What we do wrong for 9/11 to happen?
Yeah.
And no one is talking about it. And that's why I was like, interesting too, when a lot of people point out that 9/11 is also when the U.S. helped, you know, a military-backed coup in Chile to ouster President Allende, who was, you know, democratically elected socialist president, for Pinochet, which a lot of the new right fash love to talk about.
I've heard of that guy.
Yeah.
So he's probably made a good mark on history. Right.
And like, by extension, we've been talking about the situation in Chile, you have to talk about the School of the Americas, where the U.S. was just training people to kill, like, for, you know, their Western interests. With 9/11, it's just still like, oh man, can you believe it? The skyline will never look the same way. Now, what about all the stuff that was going on in previous administrations that was radicalizing people like that whole time? We'll keep it to Tiger Cruise and things like that.
Tiger Cruise, that's right. It does end with them stretching a giant American flag across the aircraft carrier, deck. And that kind of solves everything. And then Hayden Panettiere is like, Dad, I don't need you around for moral support. You need to go to war. You're the best. Anyways, let's take a quick break.
Yeah.
And we'll come back and talk about some other news stories. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan, and if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
And we're back. And should we talk about Drew Barrymore? America's sweetheart, Drew Barrymore.
Yeah.
I don't know, man.
Is she America's sweetheart?
I think I'm anti-labor now. She's so, this is where Drew so Barrymore charming. Is. Drew Barrymore so is sweet.
So quirky.
But yeah, she just announced that her show, creatively named The Drew Barrymore Show, will be returning to TV regardless of the strike. But she has a good explanation.
Mm-hmm. Exclamation.
Exclamation. She has a good explanation, Miles. She claimed that the new season of the show will be in accordance with the rules of the Writers Guild of America and SAG-AFTRA strike.
Oh, how you do that exactly?
No details on that necessarily, but it will be. Just can you guys just trust Drew Barrymore?
Okay. Well, why are you doing this, Drew? Why?
Because she wants to simply, quote, be there to provide what writers do so well, which is a way to bring us together or help us make sense of the human experience.
What the fuck does that even mean?
What? And
provide what writers do just means you're gonna just gonna scab? Or like, what is this?
How? And yeah, so her answer to like, what the fuck? So how are you going to do a thing when writers are on strike is like, we want to do what writers do, which is, so does that mean that you are just trying to like put writers out of business?
Well, we will have the producers do the writing now, and they are not in SAG, or are they not part of the WGA? Is that, I mean, I'm assuming that's what she means.
Oh yeah.
Which I'm is sure. just really wild, because she's like, obviously like the guests aren't going to talk about struck work during the show. The WGA is like, here's something interesting. The Drew Barrymore show itself is a struck show because it's only one of two of these daytime talk shows that use WGA writers.
Right.
Them in the talk. So how?
I just want, like, I feel like she also is using like a lot of psychiatry, like therapy speak in her like answers, where she's like, I take full responsibility. The buck stops here and I'm still doing this shit. I don't care what anybody says.
I hope for a resolve for everyone as soon as possible. We have navigated difficult times since we first came on air. And so I take a step forward to start season four once again with an astute humility. I'm sorry. You're still... Whatever. The WJ is like, yeah, okay, well, we're going to be picketing the fuck out of this show.
Yeah.
So we'll see how that goes.
Interesting. Yeah, it's she was like, she left, or, you know, she decided not to do the MTV Movie Awards. Remember at the beginning of this strike back in the spring, and like that was the right move. But like, maybe her agents or her like management are like, all right, so you did one for them. Now it's time for one for you. And that one for you is getting your show back up and running so we can start making some fucking money here, Drew.
Yikes.
Baby.
Yeah, I mean, go. Yeah, that's not the kind of solidarity we're looking for, Drew.
Yeah.
But I guess solidarity with the agents and networks.
It does, like, I don't know. Just her whole vibe is like kind of self-empowerment, like woo-woo. And I feel like this does get at the... inherently selfish, or not that it's inherently selfish, but that it can be selfish, that it can always be bent back around to just being selfish and being about whatever you want it to be about.
Because a lot of that language is used in service of like, I'm gonna do whatever I want to do though,
right? Yeah.
It's like, it might not be the best for everyone actually.
Yeah. So like, rather than looking to self-empowerment, maybe let's look to each other, Drew Barrymore.
No, self-empowerment, not collective. No, just empower myself.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
All right. Other bullshit on the labor front. So Grindr they told their employees that they would all have to move to a new location and start coming into the office, like relocate to a hub city and work in person 2 days a week. Or be fired. And they have, since that time, lost about 45% of its staff.
Oof.
And yeah, this is something we're seeing kind of in a lot of different places. But this specific instance is kind of fucked up because They were talking about unionizing, and people think that what is happening is they basically, when it seemed like a majority of employees were interested in unionizing, they started putting these onerous demands in place that would make it hard for people to continue working there.
Right. To be like, oh, okay, you want to do that? Well, then now come here or lose your job. I'm like, oh, look, just like that. We lost 45% of our staff. Maybe that's a good thing. But like we've talked about this a lot, about how, you know, this is not a good, like a lot of employers have been like, yikes, I kind of fucked up with that return to the office mandate, even though my company was on fucking cruise control for the last couple of years, like still making money over, like just constantly. So
yeah.
It does feel a bit suspicious.
Yeah, yeah. So Grindr in particular, their shares are up this year while everyone was still working remotely. Research has shown that employees' work actually suffers when they're forced to go back to the office. But employers are just very dead set on getting that extra bit of control, putting the toothpaste back in the tube. And it seems like it's not going well for them. But with regards to the labor side of it, the Communication Workers of America is the union that they were planning to join. They've claimed that this policy was actually an unlawful retaliatory measure made in response to a union drive at the company. Their current CEO, incidentally, was pretty unpopular already due to his extreme conservative political tweets, which included supporting Michael Bloomberg and Trump. So the CEO of Grindr is a Bloomberg supporter who's like, I think Trump's got some pretty good ideas.
Just hear him out. Hear him out.
Yeah.
Really quick. Okay. Yeah. There's a, I wonder, did he delete some of his tweets? Oh, interesting. He deleted a lot of them.
Yeah,
I guess wasn't willing to say some of those chest out. But yeah, I mean, it's just I don't know, like it's just a very it's hard to look at something like this and not see it as just an absolute intentional way to like purge like your workforce that they see as like not like people aren't going to be subordinate to like these kinds of demands, especially when they talk about how the, like a queer friendly workplace culture was just very rare in the tech industry. And now it's sort of like, yeah, man, take it or leave it, assholes.
Yeah.
But I have a 15-year lease on this office building. So what the fuck do you want me to do? It's very, very.
He had previously supported remote work because he was seeing great results from it, which makes the, you know, allegations that he was just pulling this shit to try and purge the workforce. Pretty credible.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, I still don't like, I get like the psychology of the boss that just thinks like, this is what you need to do because I want to be able to lord over people every day. So I feel powerful because that's where I derive my sense of self from. But also, like, try and be a good capitalist here. Your fucking stock is up. Line go up. So don't take away their freedom to, like, work how they want to. And I think it's a huge thing that people are missing with the pandemic is, like, before, it didn't seem possible to, like, demand to work remotely if you could do a job that could. But now so many people that were able to are sort of like, this is, I don't see a reason to go back. And the arguments aren't compelling. So the only argument they have is, well, then do you want to fucking lose your job?
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I guess it is just real estate shit, but it's crazy that it keeps coming back to that they just keep, they're unable to walk away from this idea of like,
I'm sure there's many dimensions.
Yeah.
Because also too, that probably is in like creating a deeper sense of like worker power when they don't have to go into an office. And then they're like, but I don't know what they're doing behind my back. And what, you know, so shout out to those of us that can still work remotely. And also, God, please fucking figure out those commercial leases. You know what I mean? Can someone just forgive those? No, no.
We're going to take one more break and then we're going to talk about Ashton Kutcher and Mila Kunis and their apology video for from over the weekend and what they were apologizing for. Yeah. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
And we're back, and you may have seen an apology video from Ashton Kutcher and Mila Kunis, where, you know, they're looking direct to camera, sitting side by side. You can tell that they're serious because they're dressed like they just showed up to help you paint your apartment. Like, he's like in a dirty white t-shirt. She's in one of his t-shirts, it would appear.
Dude, That collar is way too big.
Yeah,
on Mila Kunis. It looks like they were naked, and their lawyers are like, "You have to wear clothes for this apology." And they're like, "Fuck, just give me that then." Oh, okay, ready?
Oh my god! Yeah. Like the camera started. Like they were mid countdown from the camera crew and realized that they were naked and just had to like throw shit on. But yeah, I think that maybe the strategy was like to humble themselves before the people. But anyways, let's talk about what they were apologizing for.
Right.
As we talked about last week, Danny Masterson was sentenced to 30 years to life for drugging and raping 3 women. And it was revealed over the weekend that Kutcher and Mila Kunis had penned letters to the judge praising his exceptional character. The content of the letters concerned how Masterson avoided recreational drug use, like as if he were on trial for possessing a dime bag of weed, not drugging and raping people.
Yeah.
The
letters read terribly. Like the one line from Ashton Kutcher when he's like talking about how like this Danny Masterson was a quote, a role model with exceptional character. He said, anytime, this is from the letter, quote, anytime that we were to meet someone or interact with someone who was on drugs or did drugs, he made it clear that that wouldn't be a good person to be friends with.
Cool.
I'm sorry, this is written in the language of a middle schooler. Like, the perception of that people that do drugs, it's like, we all know people who do drugs are bad. And he was one of those people who's like, don't do drugs. Don't be near people that do drugs. Therefore, good.
Right.
It's a little hard to read, especially when you're we're talking about, like, this was part of the sentence. It's not like they didn't know he was convicted of these crimes. Like, they knew that. And then they're like, yeah, so he never did drugs in front of me.
Wait, what?
Huh?
I don't know. Maybe this is once again proof that our vilification of drug use is a bullshit moral stricture that is used to make horrible men more powerful than everybody. Because, I don't know.
How people talk about, like, well, Trump doesn't do drugs.
Right. Trump doesn't do drugs. So? Reagan, just say no. The Danny Masterson's a just say no guy. I actually don't know enough about Danny Masterson's drug policy.
Right.
It's just funny that, like, they were just like, this guy doesn't like drugs a trial that had nothing to do with him using drugs. But that from the Kutcher letter, it says, I do not believe he is an ongoing harm to society, and having his daughter raised without a present father would be a tertiary injustice in and of itself, which just the use of tertiary.
So, yeah.
First of all, like, great SAT word. I think that means, like, a third level injustice.
Yeah. So who's the primary injustice?
Who are the primary victims, and secondary injustices?
The primary injustice is that Danny Masterson goes to jail, or that he is a perpetrator of sexual violence
that you're continuing to ride for.
And then secondary is that Danny Masterson has to account for that. And then tertiary that his daughter then.
Yeah. Yeah.
He knows
the definition of tertiary, maybe. I don't think he knows the definition of injustice or vice versa. I'm not sure.
Yikes, man.
There was a bunch of backlash to those letters. Topher Grace was even trending on Twitter purely because everyone was praising him for not heaping praise onto an abuser and attempting to attack the credibility of the victims.
Yeah.
And yeah, that they're so in the speech in the apology video where they're dressed like they're painting an apartment, despite what their just rolled out of bed look might suggest, they are reading a statement that has been lawyered.
To the point
of its life,
to the point that they themselves as actors couldn't even convincingly perform the lines to camera. Felt like so canned. It was interesting. The pace of the video is really weird because, like, Ashton Kutcher is like really seems like contrite, and he's like, mm-hmm. I don't even know, like, why, like, we obviously wouldn't do that. And then, like, then it was time for Mila Kunis's line, and then her energy was like, never have we done this. Our careers are about, you know, standing up and advocating for victims. Okay, now it's your line, Ashton. And, like, it was just a very, felt very contrived. But yeah, it's then this sort of led to a wave of a bunch of people just being like, let me share a story with you about this person or this person. And it kind of went all over the place over the weekend.
Yeah. AK-47, Ashton Kutcher, not a good guy, turns out, in a lot of respects, maybe. Maybe fewer Doritos commercials in their future. The one that I saw that was pretty wild is a clip from Punk'd, where they're about to punk Hillary Duff when she's 15. Mm-hmm. And he's like, Hillary Duff is in Lizzie McGuire. She also has an album out. She's going to be in a movie called Cheaper by the Dozen with me. And she's one of the girls that we're all waiting for to turn 18, along with the Olsen twins. You know what I'm saying?
No, I don't. I don't know what you're saying. Please
get
away.
In a movie with her. Like, that's fucking horrifying.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of, like, the old clips that surface, you just realize how much, just how, like, violent, the, like, just casual talk would be on television.
Right.
Like, there's another clip of, like, Mila Kunis and Ashton Kutcher on the Rosie O'Donnell show, and she's talking, like, I was 14 and he was 19 when I had to kiss him on screen for that 70s show, and then Danny like dared him for like $10 or something to put his tongue down my throat for that kiss. And like they're all like laughing, and then but like Rosie O'Donnell's like, and then like Ashton Kutcher's like, come on, if it's like your girlfriend, you're gonna kiss with tongue, because like she's supposed to be my girlfriend. And it gets like very uncomfortable. But like when you look at it through the lens of like 15, 20 years ago, people were not willing to sort of pick up on how like nuanced, like the sort of like how much rape culture is in our, like the way we were talking, even in a way that was perceived as normal or innocent. Yeah. And you're like, dude, no, you're talking, what are you talking about? A 14-year-old kid? And then, yeah, anyway, there's also, I was reading an article about this in LA Magazine, and they did kind of like a ChatGPT kind of flub in it, where like they talk about Ashton Kutcher, and then it says, co-star Kushner wrote of Masterson. I'm like, what? Kushner? Jared Kushner now? Yeah. Or are we? Okay, whatever it is. But yeah, that is definitely, we'll see where that backlash ends up. But yeah, I mean, like, God, what a fucking terrible look.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, and it's not just them. There's a lot of people, like Giovanni Ribisi, Deborah Jo Rupp. It's like a ton of people that used to work
for him.
Wrote letters. But these are the ones that I think getting the most attention.
Right? And so is Giovanni Ribisi.
It's not. Oh yeah, Giovanni Ribisi is. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
It's not clear. I know Ashton Kutcher has been not. I don't know. Like, you can't really find a quote that says either way. Like, the people say that like 15 years ago or something, he said he was open to learning more. But is not like an avowed Scientologist.
Yeah, yeah. No, but Danny Masterson is a Scientologist.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, those are some of the things that are trending on this Monday, September 11th, 2023. Mm-hmm. We are back tomorrow with a whole ass episode of the show. Mm-hmm. Until then, be kind to each other. Be kind to yourselves.
Yep.
Get the vaccine. Don't do nothing about white supremacy. Oh. And we will talk to y'all tomorrow. Bye.
Bye.
Zeit gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.